Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Welcome to the audio edition for week three of Building My Footprint for God, the companion guide for small groups or individual study of the book, My Footprint for God. Our topic today is blessed beyond measure. I'm curious, when you hear someone say they are blessed, what does that mean? According to vocabulary.com, if you say you have been blessed, you feel lucky to have something, health, love, fame, fortune, talent, etc. That's it. Lucky? Is that all there is? For the Christian, being blessed is much more than luck. God's word says both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. So it's a lot more than luck. If you have been blessed, it comes from our Heavenly Father. Let me take this one step farther. If you have been blessed, and actually all of us have been very blessed, then we must ask the next question. God, what's next? Today, our special guest is Dave Briggs. Dave has been at Central Christian Church of Arizona for 10 years, leading the stewardship ministry on their six campuses. Prior to joining the staff at Central, Dave held a similar position at Willow Creek Community Church. In 2002, Dave left a 27-year career as a finance manager at General Electric to follow his passion for teaching biblical principles of handling money. He has a love for teaching and a desire to help train church leaders to establish thriving and sustainable stewardship ministries. Dave and his wife, Debbie, have two grown sons, both of whom are in full-time ministry. Dave, I'm excited to have you on the program today.
It's a thrill to be with you, Ken.
For nearly 20 years, you have worked in the stewardship world. The practical lessons you have learned will help us understand this topic and answer the question, why has God blessed me? But before we dive in, Dave, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, what's interesting is I was in my mid-20s when God spoke pretty clearly to me that he wanted me to study what the Bible says about money, and then to be able to communicate that to others. And so even though I was working at GE for the first 27 years of my career, I was doing a lot of studying. I was teaching in my local church on weekends, leading adult classes on stewardship, and really thought I would do that for the rest of my career, work at GE and then teach stewardship on the side. And then back almost 20 years ago, through a series of events, God opened the door for me to leave GE, was hired by Willow Creek Church to lead their stewardship ministry. I was there for 7 years. And then about 10 and a half years ago, the church I'm currently at in Arizona asked me if I would come there and help establish from scratch a stewardship ministry that was truly a discipleship ministry rather than a fundraising ministry, because those really are two completely separate things. A discipleship ministry really wants people to develop a biblical understanding that their relationship to money always impacts their relationship to God. And Central has encouraged me to lead a discipleship ministry separate from fundraising. And so because of that, people view our ministry as one that truly helps them get financially healthy and to establish a true spiritual foundation to their relationship to God and money.
So, Dave, our big question today is, how would you describe stewardship?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I think a lot of times there is a perception, a fairly widely held perception, that stewardship is just a fancy churchy word for giving. And we don't want to talk about giving, but we want to talk about stewardship, when in fact what we really mean is we just want people to give more. And that's unfortunate because the Bible teaches us that there is a significant difference between stewardship and giving. Giving is certainly one thing required of a steward, but stewardship is so much bigger than giving because stewardship is simply understanding that someone other than yourself owns something. It has been entrusted to you, and you are being required to care well for everything you've been given, which belongs to someone else, and to use it not only wisely, but use it in the way that you believe the true owner would want it used.
So do you have an example that illustrates stewardship like this?
An example of stewardship would be if your neighbor just got a brand new Lexus and your car broke down and he was good enough to loan you his car until you could get yours fixed. While you are driving his car, you become a steward of his car. And as a steward, you're responsible to take care of it, to make wise decisions about it, and to use that in accordance with how the owner would want it used. And so that's really the concept of stewardship. You are totally responsible for the well-being of property that is owned by someone else. And so in a biblical context, we have to understand that God created everything and he has entrusted to us what he never gave up the title to. And he requires us to steward wisely what he owns that he has entrusted to us. And as we recognize we are stewards, then we have a totally different perspective on how we make decisions about what doesn't belong to us but belongs to God. And he expects us to use it wisely as he would use it, as he would want us to use it. And so that understanding of being a steward then leads people into making different decisions than you would make if you were an owner. If you're an owner, you have total right to waste and to use what you own any way you want to, with basically no responsibility. But if you're a steward, you have a tremendous responsibility to the true owner. And that's why helping people become biblical stewards is incredibly part of their spiritual discipleship.
So what you're saying is, God wants me to use the stuff I have in a way that pleases him?
Absolutely. And when you do that, you recognize you are a steward and you begin to think with a steward's mindset rather than with an owner's mindset. You know, what's really interesting is the concept of stewardship got started very early on in God's story through his word. If you think about it, God created the Garden of Eden. And he created the Garden of Eden and then simply asked Adam to take care of the garden. Now, God didn't ever say to Adam, "This is your garden." At no time did God say, "Okay, I'm turning the garden over to you. You can do anything you want with it." He said, "No, this is the garden I created. I have put you in this garden. It's my garden, but I want you to take care of it." And so the idea of stewardship really got started in Genesis chapter 2. And it's continued as a theme throughout God's word.
You know, we hear people say, yes, God owns everything. So we know it in our head, but how do we let it influence our heart?
There is oftentimes a big gap between what we say we understand and what gets into our heart. And the truth of the matter is, we will always act in accordance with our heart. And if we are not acting in accordance with what we acknowledge in our head, then we don't really believe what we acknowledge. There's a big difference between acknowledging something and believing something. You will always act in accordance with what you believe. And so I think each one of us have a responsibility to analyze, are we in fact acting in accordance with what we acknowledge? And if there's a gap there, then we are merely talking about something that we haven't yet embedded in our heart. And so each one of us can assess, how did I act today or this week or this month or this year? Did I act more like an owner or did I act more like a steward?
Okay, here's the tough question. How does the way I handle money, including the use of debt, hinder my ability to go, do, and give to promote God's kingdom?
Well, that's one of the reasons why debt is always discouraged in God's word. You know, we have to admit that at no point does God say, at no point does he tell us in his word that having debt is a sin. It is interesting, though, that at no point in time is debt ever talked about in God's word as a positive. And the reason why it's never talked about as a positive is because it does hinder us in many ways. It hinders us emotionally, it hinders us spiritually, and it hinders us practically. It hinders us emotionally because it becomes a worry. Am I going to be able to make the next payment? And it's like this dark cloud that follows you around, and you're not totally free to use what God gave you because you're having to meet these debt obligations. So it's an emotional issue. It's also a spiritual issue in that it is keeping us from fully being able to utilize the resources God gave us for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the kingdom, and even for the benefit of our family, because we have this obligation to somebody else. So it's a spiritual issue. And then from the practical side, it's like taking a pay cut. Paying interest on your debt is like accepting a pay cut. You now have less resources than if you were debt-free. So again, even though having debt isn't a sin, it is always looked on as something to avoid and as something that is dangerous to all three of those aspects of our life.
We get caught up in our lifestyle wanting more. It's hard for us as Americans to comprehend we are among some of the wealthiest people in the world. This is true even if we just have modest means.
Yeah. And what I have found is a phrase that oftentimes comes to play here, that comparison destroys contentment. And the more we compare what we have to what somebody else has, the less content we are. And in being less content, we seek to acquire what it is that someone else has that we don't have. And no matter how wealthy we are, there's always going to be somebody who has something better than we do. And so the obligation for us as stewards is not to constantly be looking to what other people have to compare with what we have. The Bible talks to us about learning, like Paul says, I learn to be content. And learning to be content starts with looking at what we have and being grateful, rather than looking at what other people have and losing the contentment because so-and-so's got something better than we do.
Is it true that money alone doesn't bring happiness?
All you have to do is look at the lives of people who chased after money, and you will often see very, very unhappy, discontented people. You know, and the Bible talks very clearly about, and Jesus himself said, you're going to have to make a choice in your life. You're either going to follow the God of the universe, or you're going to follow after money or mammon, this sense that money can fill a hole in our spiritual life. Because Jesus says you can't have both. You're either going to follow me or you're going to follow money. And it was interesting. He could have contrasted following him with anything, but he made that contrast between following him or following money, following the spirit of money. And what's interesting in both of those cases, what he's saying is there are two powerful forces out there. that are both trying to influence your thinking and your action. There's the force of the God of the universe, and there's the force of money and mammon trying to get you to think in that direction. And you're going to have to choose between the two. And those who follow after mammon eventually become incredibly unhappy and never do acquire what they were searching after.
So what brings happiness?
Well, since we're talking about this subject, I think it's truly understanding your role as a steward, which means we are obligated to serve the master in a way that makes the master happy. And then as the master is happy, we joined him in his happiness.
The paradox is the fulfilled life comes not by having more, but by giving of ourselves. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that gets us to two of my very favorite chapters in the Bible. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And that talks about the different relationship that develops between God and his children who are wise in their generosity and their use of what God has given to them.
In the opening of this podcast, I stated you might be able to help us answer the question, why has God blessed me? So, Dave, why have we been blessed?
I think initially it goes back to the fact that as we came together and our nation was young, so many of our leaders established our nation on biblical principles. And whether it's looking back at Israel in the Old Testament or America, the more we make decisions and rely on God's wisdom and God's word, the more he is able to bless us. And it's one of the things I'm really concerned about as a nation, as we get farther and farther away from God's principles. It sure makes sense to me that we will not enjoy some of the same blessing as we get farther and farther away from the biblical principles that establish so much of our early history. And I think it comes down again to God wants to bless those who have proven themselves to be trustworthy as stewards with his stuff. And I would hope that our country would grasp that reality more in the future.
Any final thoughts?
Well, I guess my final thought would be for every one of us to, as we read God's word, to see it through the lens of being a steward, responsible to the master for what he has entrusted to us. And if we read God's word with a steward's mindset, it'll change all that we read and will change the way we interact with resources, interact with other people. And I think it will significantly impact our relationship to God, because our relationship to money always impacts our relationship to God. It is never neutral. It'll either draw us closer to God or it'll take us farther away. Money, in a biblical sense, is never neutral.
Fantastic stuff, Dave. Our happiness does not come from acquiring more. It comes through living our life with purpose. Thanks for being our guest today. Each day, we build our legacy as we leave our footprint on this world and our family. For those involved in a small group study, please give your attention to your group facilitator to continue this discussion on building my footprint for God. Thanks for joining us today. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also, hit the subscribe button or head over footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.